Good morning, everyone. We are here today to talk about the tax bill that will be on the Senate floor today. Before we get into more of the details on the tax bill, I think it's important to talk about why we're here and why we have such a large tax bill. So, of course, last year in 2021, the legislature passed a bipartisan $51 billion two-year budget for the state of Minnesota. Here we are less than a year later, and the state has a budget surplus of over $9 billion. And the reason why we have that surplus is simple. The state is over-collecting from the taxpayers. The state of Minnesota is collecting too much money from the people. And we have heard loud and clear from people all across the state, give the money back. And the best way to put more money back in the pockets of Minnesotans is with permanent, ongoing tax relief. Our tax relief proposal is very simple. Senator Nelson will get into the details here in a moment, but there are two major parts of the bill. Number one, we completely eliminate the tax on Social Security income. So if you're a Minnesotan and you receive Social Security income, under our proposal, you will no longer pay taxes on that income. And then the next thing we do is we reduce the first tier income tax rate. And you may ask, why the first tier? By reducing the first tier, every taxpayer in the state of Minnesota will receive tax relief. Let me repeat that. Every taxpayer, if you're a Minnesotan and you pay taxes, you will receive tax relief under this proposal. We feel that it's very, very important to put more money in the pockets of working Minnesotans every single paycheck, week after week, month after month, year after year. And to provide more details on the bill, I'll turn it over to Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Senator Miller, and thank you for being here to cover this historic day. We will be bringing forth a historic tax bill in an historic time. As you know, as was said, historic in the amount of overtaxation that our residents have faced, over $9.25 billion and likely increasing. And so this tax bill does the right thing and returns those funds to those taxpayers. And specifically noted, it does reduce that first tier income tax rate, nearly cuts that rate in half from 5.35% to 2.8%. And as you know, that is the first tier that your income taxes run through, and they are taxed at that lower rate. Now, I do want you to know that that lower rate for the first amount of income is higher than a majority of states' lowest rate. So our income tax in Minnesota, in general, is high, higher at higher rates than many other states. And we are taking a good chunk out of this first tier, which means that anyone who pays income tax in the state of Minnesota will see a tax reduction. And it's really the understanding that our state coffers are full, but yet Minnesotans are struggling. They're struggling with historic inflation, and they're just struggling to make ends meet, to keep the energy on in their homes, to fill up their cars, to buy groceries. All of these prices are increasing dramatically, and it is just bad tax policy that we would over-collect to such an extent. And so a large part of this bill is returning some of that overcollection to Minnesotans and making sure that every Minnesotan who pays income taxes receives a reduction. That will affect over 2.4 million filers in our state. And let's not lose sight of the fact that this is not a one-time gimmick that some might be proposing. This is permanent, ongoing, month after month, paycheck after paycheck, year after year, tax relief. And that's what really Minnesotans need. And in addition, we're going to support our seniors through not taxing their Social Security benefits. And as you know, again, most states don't tax those Social Security benefits, but Minnesota, again, is an outlier. And so this bill will remove all of that double taxation on those Social Security benefits. That also includes Social Security disability income as well. We will be removing the state taxation on those benefits. Both of these proposals begin with tax year 2022. It's immediate, and it is easy to administer. There will be 407,000 filers who would benefit from our Social Security tax exemption. An average tax relief of $1,254 every year. Thirdly, this bill conforms to the multitude of federal tax law changes that we have seen in the last 2 years. We've seen about six major tax law changes. And as those of you know, it's important that the Minnesota tax code somehow align or conform to those federal tax changes. There have been so many of those tax changes, starting with 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and then all of the coronavirus relief acts that have followed. And it's time that we conform to those federal proposals, federal tax conformity. And I do want to note that all of this tax conformity, number one, does not increase Minnesotans' tax liability. It will decrease their tax liability. And most importantly, it will make it more simple, transparent, and easy for Minnesotans to file their taxes. And just as a note, typically when it comes to conformity and it's retroactive, it's hard to fill out, and you have to go back and amend your previous tax forms. This bill has a one-time true-up. So in 2022, there will be a one-time true-up where you can claim that tax conformity for retroactive years, and it will affect those. All of that will be reflected in a one-time instead of going back and amending year after year after year. And I do want to note that this is the governor's proposal as well. So we are certainly in line there. And then lastly, there's one other proposal that I want you to know about, and that is called the estate tax portability. Again, many states do not tax estates, often called the death tax. Again, double taxation, but Minnesota does. And also, we're one of the very few states that says, you know what, if in many, many cases, a couple, first spouse dies, all the assets go to the living partner. But there in Minnesota, that estate tax exemption, which exists at about $3 million, again, way under the federal level, that does not, it evaporates when that estate of the first to die moves to the surviving spouse. This simply allows portability of that estate tax exemption, had it not been used priorly by the first decedent. So again, this is good news for Minnesotans. They are struggling. Minnesota, again, we are surrounded by states who have lower income taxes, who do not tax Social Security, do not tax the death tax, do not tax estates. This is a small step to right the ship, to support hardworking Minnesotans, and to make our state a bit more competitive, and to encourage innovation, growth, and economic expansion in our state. I'll take any questions.
I got one.
Yes.
We usually have to wait so long to get revenues, tax incident analysis of these things. Do you have one?
I do. And what I'd like to share with you, I did not bring the whole thing, but
you have to read it to me.
Oh. Well, okay, yes, we do have that. The part that I want you to know is because you might hear this idea that, this is, you know, we have to be fair and this is not fair. Let's talk about fairness and let's look at that tax incident study. So, as I mentioned, our lowest rate is higher than 24 other states' lowest income tax rate. And as I said, the 2021 tax incident study by the Department of Revenue provides 2 points that I think are important in context here. One, taxpayers in the top decile, that's incomes over $164,000 and over, they have 43% of total income in our state. And yet, they pay 59% of the income tax. We are a progressively taxed state, no matter how you look at it. Now, taxpayers in the bottom decile, those are incomes under $12,826 and below, they are not quite 1% of total income in this state. Now, they have a negative net income tax burden because in Minnesota, we provide refundable tax credits. And this will not change that. So we support the Minnesotans of most modest means, but about 18% of Minnesotans do not pay income taxes, and many would receive those refundable credits. And so this bill recognizes that. It also maintains those refundable credits, and it allows all Minnesotans who pay income taxes to receive an income tax reduction.
But you have it for this proposal. Not overall state, I mean for this proposal.
No, what I have is the 2021 analysis of the current tax incidence study.
So yes. Someone's going to say rich people get more of this than poor people, and you don't have an incidence study to be able to rebut that?
I have the distribution to tell you that. And so you want to talk about the income tax modifications, and about 2.8% of the income tax proposal will go to those in the top decile.
Okay. Decile.
Yeah, the top 10%.
And you'd be able to give me that for all 10?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just not related to this. It's another tax-related bill, but is there an update on UI? I mean, that April 30th other deadline that's out there is going to come up sometime after the break.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no update. The Senate passed our UI bill on February 14th, I believe. I don't even know how many weeks ago that was now. We had strong bipartisan support in the Senate, and to the best of my knowledge, the House of Representatives has yet to act on a UI bill.
Any
Nothing has been planned. No, not at this point. I mean, we're anxious to see the House take action on the bill.
Will all this be under the 2-year surplus and the out year surplus? All of your tax cuts, UI, spending, is it going to be under 9.25? For this biennium?
Absolutely, yes. We're tracking every dollar that's being proposed, spent in the Senate, and everything fits within the budget, current year and into the future. And that's part of the reason why we're doing permanent ongoing tax relief, because if you look into the future, there's a structural budget surplus, meaning the state's not just over-collecting money from the taxpayers now, but that goes into the future. And the best way to address that overtaxation is by providing permanent ongoing tax relief.
In more general terms, rather than just numbers here, though, I mean, what's your rebuttal to the argument from the Democrats that most of the benefits from this are going to the people who are already well off, who aren't struggling?
Well, the fact of the matter is that they're receiving the smallest percent of a tax rate reduction. In other words, they are receiving a very small reduction in their tax rate, whereas folks at the more modest end are receiving a much higher rate cut. So it's not accurate to say that we are favoring the wealthy. It's clearly their rate cut is significantly less than that of lowest income Minnesotans.
And if the statement is just simply not true, because if you look at how the money is distributed, as Senator Nelson said, it's really targeted towards middle class Minnesotans, both individuals and families. So when you look at how the money is distributed, middle class families receive the most tax relief under our proposal.
And it costs
$8.5 billion over how many years? Is that number adjusted at all?
I think that those was... that is the whole proposal, which is all of the pieces that I mentioned. About $130 million for conformity, about 6.6 for income tax, and then a Social Security, removing that taxation, and all in all, it is $8 billion. I can give you the exact number here. I think it's about 8.8.
That's over 3 years.
Over three years.
In terms of the federal conformity, do you have everything that the governor was asking for? And without getting too into the weeds, what can you just highlight, like, some of what the conformity is?
Yes. And people, I know you know about conformity when you say don't get too far into the weeds. That's what people ask. Yes, it is the governor's full conformity proposal. It does things like not taxing the shuttered venue grants, not taxing the idle grants, much as we did with PPP. It also has some student loan provisions in there regarding student loans. It also has some important provisions regarding short sales, so that those short sales or those foreclosures are not considered income and not taxed as such. So it's a good conformity proposal, and it will benefit Minnesotans in many ways, and it will not increase their tax liability.
Your bill doesn't have anything that looks like the Walsh checks, and turns out the House isn't going to either. I mean, what does that mean for the prospect of these kind of one-time tax cut?
Well, I'm going to let the majority leader really address that. But I have to say, when I looked at that, I thought, it's going to be a hard row to hoe when neither the Democrat House or the Republican Senate. I think what it really means is, you know what, we're interested in real, permanent, ongoing tax relief, not a one-time check in the mail. And I think Minnesotans are wiser. I think Minnesotans can kind of see through that as well.
The House tax bill, of course, isn't going to look anything like this. I mean, what ends up being the final tax bill coming out of the session?
What I would say, and I'm glad you brought that up, the tax bill that you're going to see on the Senate floor today, as I said, is very narrowly tailored to these four areas. So that means it does not include things like property taxes, tax aids and credits, all of those, TIF, local option sales tax, sales and use taxes. Those are not included in this this tax relief bill that you will see on the floor today. However, what that does tell you is there will be a second tax bill coming as well, much as we did last year. You might remember we had an early action tax bill, and then we had another tax bill later in session. And so today's tax bill is very focused on those four areas that I mentioned.
Now, let me just add to that. It's actually really disappointing that the House tax bill does not focus on putting money back in the pockets of Minnesotans like we do. So Republicans, our focus is very clear, and it's based on what we're hearing from people all across the state of Minnesota. Give the money back. And the best way to do that is permanent ongoing tax relief, so working Minnesotans have more money in their pockets every single paycheck, week after week, month after month, year after year, and completely eliminate taxes on Social Security income. Minnesota is one of only 12 states that still taxes Social Security income. We think it's long overdue to eliminate that burdensome tax on our seniors.
Senator Nelson, do you have a target? I know we're not supposed to use target, but do you have a total for that tax aids and credits chunk? How much?
No, I do not have that aligned yet. So there will be an additional tax bill, but there will be I think we're calling them targets, perhaps.
Surplus priorities.
There you go.
It's not a budget year.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a question from John Perlman. He says, what about the DFL argument that the state would need to keep this taxing authority if we hit a deficit scenario in the future? The whole one-time relief is safer argument that they make.
I'll take that, and then I'll let the majority leader step in. Well, to think that the alternative to that question is that we would continue to overtax Minnesotans. We would continue to make Minnesota an outlier, an island of taxation. No matter how you look at it, we're one of the top five tax states in the nation, no matter how, what indice you look at. And I believe that Minnesotans who are paying these taxes definitely feel it in their pockets, in their wallets. But again, we always have legislatures coming in the future to address those future needs. But let's not lose sight of the fact that we are in a unique position here and that we have a budget reserve that is totally topped off at about $2.5 billion. We've not been in that position before when a deficit arrived. And also, our cash flow accounts are full. So there is just no getting around the fact that we have collected significantly more money than is needed, that is adequate in the terms of tax policy, is adequate for our state's needs. And in fairness, which is another tax policy adjective, fairness, adequate. I could go on with about six others. A good tax policy. Let's just note, in fairness, it's important that we return this to the hardworking Minnesotans that paid this. And as the majority leader noted, we believe that Minnesotans, hardworking Minnesotans, they know best how to use this tax relief, as opposed to us up here in St. Paul determining how this tax relief should be divvied out for this or this or this or that. Really, it really needs to go to Minnesotans who know best what their needs are. They know best how to use these funds to help them recover from the pandemic and survive and thrive.
If I didn't know better, I would listen to you guys and listen to the House D's and think we are in a depression right now, when in fact, this is one of the hottest economies that any of us can remember. So why is it that both sides sort of poor mouth the economy for purposes like this? You keep talking about the struggling Minnesotans. In fact, the economy's hotter than hell. So it doesn't speak against a tax decrease, certainly, but isn't the economy really good?
My comments are about hardworking Minnesotans who have made this economy strong. So hardworking Minnesotans are the ones who have made our economy strong. And I'll let the majority leader continue.
You're right that the economy is strong, but we also have record inflation rates that are squeezing family budgets. So the economy is strong, which is a good thing. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. But the problem that we have is you have inflation at a 40-year high, causing gas prices to go up, grocery prices to go up, heating and electrical costs to go up. Minnesota families are getting squeezed right now. And the best thing we can do is put more money in their pockets at a time when they need it most.
Got one more from Brian Bax, and then maybe one more from the group, because I know the room is reserved at 9:30. Brian asked, Senator Miller, do you see yourself accepting a tax deal that doesn't cut income tax rates or rate?
I think it's too early to answer that question. Republicans are open to any ideas to put more money back in the pockets of Minnesotans, but we strongly believe that permanent ongoing tax relief is the best way to put more money back in the pockets of Minnesotans. And we also strongly believe that eliminating the tax on Social Security income is the best way to help seniors all across the state of Minnesota. So that's what our focus is, that's what our priority is, and that's what we're going to keep working towards.
Some economists are using the R word, the recession. There's fears of a coming recession. If these tax cuts become enacted, what would a recession mean for the state budget?
Well, right now, I think it's too early to say. The economy is strong. People are working. So I think it's premature to say that there's a recession on the horizon. But part of the reason they are talking about a recession is because of those record rates of inflation. But I think it's premature right now to talk about a recession.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.